Well, the world is dumpster fire, and nothing here makes sense. And you vacillate between crippling fear and constant self-defense. And nothing's right and nothing's good, and you're paralyzed with grief. Don't kill yourself, just have a cup of coffee.
Welcome to Coffee Over Suicide, the dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. I'm your host, Chris Parker Howard. And if you're noticing the giant uptick in my voice this week versus the way it's been the past couple of weeks, it's because I've had an epiphany. You know how you can have all of the tools in your toolbox and yet completely forget about them from time to time? That's me. That is me completely. Just to remind you, I'm not a licensed therapist. I'm not a mental health professional. I'm just some guy with a podcast and a passion for this stuff and years of experience of dealing with things. So I have a pretty extensive warehouse of tools that I can pull from at any given moment. But getting any advice from me is like talking to a good-natured dog. It's a lot of fun. You might feel a little better, but, I'm not a professional. I'll tell you what, though. I am a person who regularly forgets very obvious things. And my state of being as of late is a really good example of that, because I just had a few days off. And I should have been working on the podcast and the music that I'm working on. I have three music albums in some form of development, all on my own right now. And I'm working on a screenplay, some sketches for a sketch show that's going to be coming who knows when. And suffice it to say, I've made myself very, very busy, and I have a lot of things that I could be doing with my time that I should be doing with my time. And I know a lot of people right now who are saying, you know what? You are not required to use this time to do anything. And I believe that. I believe that wholeheartedly. But I don't know if I believe that for me. I have all of these things going, and I'm a believer in making yourself get down to work when you don't feel like working. But man, did I have a nasty, nasty case of the I don't give a fucks over the past few days. And what did I do? What did I do with my time? I did almost nothing. I spent my time kind of kicking around, playing video games, eating bad food, and just telling myself I deserve to take a break because I've been working so hard. And so I'm just going to take a few days, shut off my brain, and do nothing. And you know what? Maybe that worked. Maybe that's exactly what I needed. But I'll tell you what, I did not feel great immediately afterward. You know what brought me back? What brought me back was the idea that everything around me was not necessarily falling apart or out of my control. I have so many choices still available to me. Everything in your life is a choice of how you're going to react to it. I can't control the quarantine or the way people are behaving online or the world at large, as a matter of fact. But I can control how I respond. And there are going to be times where I respond poorly. And maybe this was one of those times. But once I realized that I had the power to be able to take care of myself differently, just arrive as a different human being in a new moment. Because you can always do that. You can always decide, new moment, new me, new chance. The world is going to do whatever the world is going to do. The universe is going to do whatever the universe is going to do. I don't know what kind of language you use to describe all of the forces that are external to you. I don't know if you talk about the world or if you talk about the dark forces of the universe. It really doesn't matter. It all comes down to the same thing. Who am I? Who am I going to show up as? Great. Who am I going to be? The world is doing this. This guy is doing this. These people over here are doing that. Who am I going to be? What am I going to do? Am I going to sit around today? Am I going to tell myself that I deserve to sit around all day? Or am I going to be a person who accepts that maybe sometimes you just get lazy? Maybe you don't really need a break. Maybe everything that you're doing is fine. Maybe it's not too much. And maybe you just got lazy for a minute. And maybe you should forgive yourself for being lazy for a minute. I don't know. It's just a thought. But it's a thought that brought me back out of the darkness. It really lit a fire back under me, because I was spending all of this time feeling bad about a moment in the past where I had basically taken inaction and just obliterated a few precious days where I could have gotten a lot of things done, and I did nothing with it. And I was lamenting that, the loss of those days, instead of taking what I had in front of me, which was a new set of moments, a new set of hours, a new set of minutes, to do something different. I think when you do something wrong or you make a mistake, you acknowledge it, you try to correct it, and you definitely try not to repeat it. And that's what I forgot. I forgot that I can forgive myself and move on. That I have the ability to choose to move on. And I'm so grateful for that. Is that something that appeals to you? I'll tell you what. Today on the show, we have got Brooke Wright. She's an amazing human being. We have a great conversation. And I'm going to stop talking so we can get into it. Here's Brooke. Hi, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing all right. The self-isolation's starting to get to me a little bit. I think it's getting to most people. How are you handling it?
Yeah, I mean, I can somewhat relate. I wouldn't say getting to me. I would just say I miss really going outside. Now, you know, I really value that even like 100 times more now. I always valued that before, but now it's like I really miss just like walking in Mother Nature and just going outside and, you know, just being able to have that freedom.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, I wouldn't say it's necessarily getting to me. I mean, I've been definitely making sure I'm taking care of myself. And just getting rest and, you know, just overall taking care of myself. But, yeah, that's how it's been for me.
Where are you at right now, currently, geographically?
Oh, I'm in Toronto.
Toronto. Nice. Mm-hmm. So what's been the general overall attitude there with regards to the situation that's happening right now globally?
Honestly, I would just say it's humans. I think everyone just has their own opinion. I think it's just a bunch of, just mixed opinions, mixed feelings, mixed reviews, mixed everything, mixed yeah. stories. I feel like that's just, I wouldn't say that it was more one over the other. I've been hearing like two sides to everything. You know, everyone has their feelings of like, there's different levels for it too. So it's like, where do you want to start? We can talk about the quarantine itself. We can talk about, the media. We can talk about what like different, there's a lot to it. But I wouldn't say there's one more over the other. I think it's honestly just a topic every single day. This has probably been like, the most, probably the longest, topic. And I feel like, that people have been engaging in every single day. And that can be like very draining.
Yeah, very much so.
I feel like, and that's why, I feel like that, of course, then it's going to get to people because it's just like energetically draining on every level. So yeah, it's interesting.
Well, take me back a little bit farther. I'd like to talk a little bit about the world as it was before everything changed here. Take me back a little farther. What are some of your earliest memories associated with your mental health journey?
My earliest memories, geez. That's a good question. I would say maybe, interesting, somewhere around high school, but not really. I was aware of depression and things of that nature, but I didn't really understand the full scope of what mental health was. So, I would say I would officially start to really know about it more when I was right after high school, right after I graduated. That's when I started to really learn more about wellness, period. Just, the different areas and this healing and the mindset and emotional health and so on. So that's probably around 19 years old.
Yeah. What was your childhood situation like? Pretty standard?
It was interesting. I mean, growing up, we moved around a lot before I was even 10, 12 years old. We moved around maybe 10, 11 times. And then when we finally my mom finally chose settle, was in Scarborough. And then, so we grew up there. It was at the time, a priority neighborhood. So there's that part. And then that whole, everything that comes with that, the mental health, emotional well-being, of just living in a space like that. But, so that was that. And then I went to high school. And then, so in high school, I was definitely, on the wrong side of the track. So I was definitely getting into a lot of trouble. I was in, because, at the time I was still so much anger, I was still so much pain, so much, my story is very deep, my whole journey officially started when I was 5 because I was sexually molested, right? And so I carried that with me for 15 years. And so throughout high school, I was very angry and people didn't know why. And at the time I didn't really understand why either. But through the journey, I started to learn more about myself and learn more about my roots and learn more about, what happened. And just digging deep and being more aware of it and accepting it and overcoming it. But so that was me in high school. And then, it was everything just kind of everything changed once I finished high school. Once I graduated, that's when I really just decided to make that choice of I want better for myself. I want different for myself. I want to be different. I want to feel different. Cause I didn't like the way I was feeling. I didn't like the way I was behaving, I didn't how my life was. And so I was at that age, aware of it enough to be no, I want different. And so, I just started to make the choices to make that happen.
It's pretty interesting the way that, an early kind of sexual trauma can really manifest itself in so many different ways throughout the course of your life. Because I'm similar in that regard. had some events happen when I was young that I didn't really address until well into adulthood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then
That's how it happens.
you just start pulling those things apart and analyzing them and going, oh yeah, that explains why I have these issues with these various things.
Yeah, exactly. So you said
that you were having kind of a rough time as a teenager. What was the general outlook as far as your awareness of processing trauma and grief as a teenager? Was that a conversation that was happening either in your house or in your society?
No. Like, that's the thing too, of like living in most priority neighborhoods are this way, right? Well, now you start to see a lot of change. You know, there's a lot of more nonprofits in the areas and, like, you know, related to mental health and whatnot. But before, like around my era or whatever, no, honestly, it was not a topic of conversation. And the thing is too, I come from my culture, my parents' culture is like West Indian, you know, the Jamaican. And so they're Caribbean, and they have that mindset of like, you know, oh, what are you crying for? You have no reason to cry. You know, like basically overall, we grew up not knowing anything pretty much about like mental health or, you know, your emotional well-being and like what it really means to like talk about things and go through things. We were taught to basically hide our feelings. And, you know, if we show our feelings, you know, we're weak or whatever the case may be. And so that was like the mindset for pretty much most of my childhood and teenagehood, right? And then that's why I was like, it was a crazy journey when I first started, like when I was 19 and I started to like learn all these things. I was like, oh my gosh, wow. Like if I had known this, you know, growing up, things would have been different. But the thing is too, it goes beyond like the household, right? I feel like schools are missing this key aspect as well. Like, this is what they should be teaching, especially a part of gym class. Like, we're talking about health. Well, your mental health is your health, you know? Your physical health, yes, is your health, but your mental, your emotional, all that. So that should be a part of, like, school, you know? And so people should be learning this regardless. But, yeah, growing up, no, I had no idea. I had no idea about, honestly, pretty much any of these topics. Like, the only thing was, like, being religious. That's all I knew was, like, the church and the Bible. But that was it.
And so just to clarify for our, you know, your Southern brothers and sisters here in America, the priority neighborhoods, those are areas that are considered to be kind of requiring help because they're economically depressed. Is that right?
Pretty much, yeah, I guess if you want to put it in that term. Almost like if you want to put it in a simple term with people, like the hood, if you want to call it like that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I mean, we don't even – it's, you know, it is great language, though, priority neighborhoods. It's a neighborhood that has a priority of need. That's, you know, that's a much more eloquent way of looking at it. I mean, here we just say don't go there. I mean, I lived in a pretty rough neighborhood. I was in Michigan, so, you know, we were practically neighbors, but it was a pretty rough area, and I know what that can be like, and I know what life can sort of be like when you're in an area where it sort of prioritizes getting your own personal shit together versus anything above and beyond survival is considered to be kind of extra. You know what I mean? We're not even talking about full on life and death or anything like that, but just that idea of we got to make sure the water stays on. We got to make sure the lights stay on. These things all matter. Making sure everybody's eating, making sure that you can get yourself to school or get yourself to work or whatever you're doing. These are the main things. Anything above and beyond that, you're asking for something. So tell me a little bit about that church upbringing. How'd that go? Was that mainly your mom? Did you have both your parents?
Oh, no, I was mainly my mom. My dad wasn't even like a religious person. Yeah, it's more my mom. Like, she always, like, well, she grew up in a church because her dad is a pastor. And so that's, like, her life, you know? So she grew up in a church and she made us grow up in the church. But then, actually, she, like, when we got to a certain age, I think it was maybe 14, maybe even younger than that, maybe, like, 12, 13. That's when she actually gave us a choice of, like, you know, of if we want to go to church, we can. And if we don't, we don't have to. I think at that point, she started to probably see, like, some of us were just not really feeling it as much. And so, yeah, eventually, like, I stopped going. Most of us stopped going. And then, yeah, I just think, you know, everyone has their own beliefs, obviously, at the end of the day, right? And we all gravitate towards different things. And so for me, I can only speak for myself, but for me, the church just wasn't for me, really, or, like, the churches I've been to. I'm not saying all churches are the same, but the ones I've been to just weren't for me. I didn't feel that, like, real strong spiritual connection that I ended up feeling later on in my life once I started to, like, do my own digging and researching and whatnot. But, but it was fun, though, at the same time, because we did go to my grandpa's church, so he had his own church as well growing up. And so it was pretty fun because, like, my family was very obviously involved in, like, the administration and, like, you know, obviously the programming, all that kind of stuff. And so we as, like, kids got to, like, do little volunteering things. It was fun. So they did have, like, a little or some fun things to do for children. So obviously as a child, you definitely gravitate towards it. But, that, you know, it was very interesting and funny. Like, I haven't thought about that in a while. But thinking about it now, it's like, yeah, there's definitely a lot of memories that come from that.
Yeah, I had a my uncle was a minister, and he used to drive a bus to pick the kids up for vacation Bible school in the summertime. And, he would take us all kinds of places. We'd do all kinds of things. But he was a fun guy. He was kind of a weird guy. Like, he was a minister, but we went to the beach and he had lost his leg in a hunting accident. He wasn't even a hunter. He was just walking around in the woods and somebody shot his leg off. But we went to the beach and he would bury himself in the sand with his false leg. And then he would get up and leave and the leg would still be there because he got a kick out of it, seeing people. He did get in trouble once waving his leg around in the water, screaming shark. that was just that kind of thing. He was kind of a weird guy, but I do have some decent memories of my spiritual journey. I found it when, in my younger days, I was pretty angry at the church for the things that I thought it wasn't doing correctly. But I also found that you don't have to throw out everything. You take the things that are good. Yeah. You take the things that you need, especially as you need them. And you can start to apply them in other ways. And the things that aren't working for you, the things that are kind of going against you and not helping you and not serving you, you don't need to carry those things with you anymore. You can kind of take the things that are working.
Exactly. 100%. Like, you know, it's almost common sense in a sense where it's like, once you start to learn these things, at least, you know, you start to realize, like, yeah, you know, why are we holding on to things that don't serve us? Like, what is the point of that, you know? But yeah, it's all just a journey.
Well, there's a lot of thought that goes into it being a lot easier to just digest what's put in front of you. Because think about it, life is already hard enough without having to go through and, you know, rewire yourself after you've had any kind of damage. It's usually people that have suffered some kind of a trauma and decided they were going to fix it, that you start weeding out some other things as part of the process. But for you, in your process, what was your first experience with trying to, you know, rip out some of those weeds and change your mental garden, if you will?
I love that. Or even that garden analogy. And overall, I agree with exactly what you're saying. I always believe in first getting to the root of your problem, right? Because you can't heal the surface of it, right? And so I look at it as like a tree or a plant. Like, you can't heal a plant just by looking at the leaves. You have to figure out what's going on in the soil. And so that's exactly how I look at it when it comes to like healing something. It's about getting to the root of it. And so it's like an acknowledgement phase. You have to go through this phase of acknowledging what the heck is going on, you know, and period. Yeah. And like, where did it come from? Like, how, where did these thoughts, these feelings, these beliefs, these habits, does these all stem from? You know, why do I think this way? Why do I believe in this? Why do I act like this? Why are these my habits, et cetera? It's like, once you start to acknowledge, not even, you know, the entire root, once you start to acknowledge your roots and like everything, it's, you're going to create so much more clarity. You know, and who doesn't want clarity? You want clarity in your life because you want clarity on who you are and clarity on who you are moving forward and where you are going moving forward. I think that's so key. Like, that's what, that's how we know ourselves, right? That's how we get to know ourselves. It's about digging deep and really learning, like, okay, what are all these layers to myself? And, like, who am I?
Yeah.
It's just about asking, like, all those questions. Who, the who, what, when, where, why, how, you know?
Well, yeah. Where did you first start getting those questions asked for yourself? Because it's not a thing that people usually come to completely on their own.
Yeah.
Where was your where was the beginning of your journey? What was that like?
Mm-hmm. So when I first officially started my journey, so I'll say like maybe 2011, 2012. And for me, I'm like a huge researcher. So, like, I'm just always, I love reading books. I love watching documentaries. I love, you know, just searching the internet. I just love researching. And so, for me, like, once I get into something, especially something that I love and something that matters to me, which is, like, you know, all these things, I just start digging. And so, I started to just learn first about myself. So, like, any questions I have for myself, so, like, it could have been, I don't know, like, how can I, you know, heal from this, or how can I forgive, or whatever the questions I had at the time. And so, you know, I would just learn first for myself and see what works for me, you know, and use all these different activities that people were talking about. So whether it was journaling, whether it was writing, whether it was doing meditation or all these different things, like I'm not one who's scared to try things. So I was open to everything. So I kept, you know, working and to see what was working for me. And then just kept doing that, whatever was working for me. So as I was doing that, I just started to learn more and more again about myself. And I started to realize what was working. And so what was working was getting, was like basically dissecting every single story, you know, every single traumatic story, every single story or experience that like changed my life, was like dissecting that. And then I realized, like, once I start to like acknowledge and accept all these different layers of what happened in that experience and like what went on and the who, the what, again, the who, the what, the when, the where, the why, the how. Once I started to acknowledge all that and accept all that, it was a simpler process for me to heal. It was a simpler process for me to actually let go of that experience, because I didn't shy away from, you know, the feelings. I didn't shy away from the thoughts. I didn't shy away from anything that stemmed from that, anything that birthed from that. So that, you know, like if that had changed my habits, if that had changed my feelings, if that had changed my mindset, whatever, I acknowledge all that, every single layer, every single drop, and then I accepted every single thing. And then that's what helped me to actually like overcome it and heal it and again, let it go. So that was my process.
And that was definitely the right way to go. It's unusual that we're not teaching this more, as far as getting people to accept things as they are versus trying to get past something. The only way really to get over something is to get through it. And for that to work, you've got to be able to acknowledge that there's something that you've got to work on in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So in your case, you're putting these things together. Was there ever any doubt in your support system? Did you ever have to go approach anyone and say, I'm struggling with some things. I'm going to need some help.
Mm-hmm. To be honest, for my journey in a sense. So for my journey, let me start with this. So it was a lot of self-help for me. But that's just because for me, that's what works for me. So like I take action, you know, I like to really like get things going. And like, I don't, when, again, like when something matters to me, I'm going to make sure like I really go through with this. And so that's my entire, I guess, energy. But then also there was a point, like when I officially, when that night happened, I guess you could say, when I decided to like really change my life and let go of that, especially that specific situation of when I was 5 years old. So how that happened was like one night I just felt it. Like it just hit me like a ton of bricks out of nowhere. And I just felt that entire experience. And I remember like I was just crying for like, I don't even know. It felt like hours. It probably was probably just 10 minutes, but you know that like those
yeah.
moments.
Yeah.
It feels like hours. Yeah. So I was, I remember it was really just one of those like really like crazy balls. And I just kept bawling and crying. And then, so in that moment, yeah, I definitely needed that support. And in that moment, like my boyfriend was there. And so, he definitely like consoled me and supported me in that moment. But yeah, so in that moment, yeah, you know, he was there. But overall, for my entire journey, it's like, yeah, overall, it's been like self-help, you know. I haven't really gone to like a therapist or anything like that. But which is like, you know, anyone can go to those kind of things, to do those kind of things. But for me,
yeah, you use the tools that work for you.
For me, exactly. But yeah, so that was my journey.
I think it's pretty profound that you're able to, you know, live in such a time when such resources are available. Everybody likes to disparage the internet, and with good reason. There's a lot of awful stuff out there, mm-hmm. but there's also mm-hmm. the entirety of human knowledge on the internet. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. if you're willing to look for it, you can find the solution to just about any problem.
Yeah, it's true.
So you've basically decided, you know, like an amateur mechanic, if you will, mm-hmm. you know, you've got this Dodge Neon named Brooke, and you want to figure out how to take apart the engine and put it back together. And so you go and you look for instructions. And you start mm-hmm. figuring out the pieces that work. That's kind of amazing that mm-hmm. you're able to do that. Have you yeah. discussed any of this stuff with your family now? Like as far as the trauma in the first place, and then the fact mm-hmm. that you're getting over it. Are they aware of yeah. all that?
Yeah, actually, we've definitely had conversations about it. So. And about multiple things as well. So, like, even now, even more now, they're more open even to, like, talking about myself or talking about, you know, emotional, like, again, your health entirely, right? And
yeah,
so,
sure.
Even just that entirely as a conversation as a family and household, like, that has shifted, right? And so, yeah, I'm grateful because, like, yeah, like, now we have conversations where it's like, okay, we can talk about things, you know, we can talk about spirituality, we can talk about, you know, new things, or we can try to like expand our minds or expand our horizons. So now it's like, you know, everyone has their own time, of course, their own journey, but everyone is definitely like more, I would say, interested in learning. So yeah, it's a good thing.
Now, tell me a little bit about how you express yourself when you have, let's say, emotional or intellectual puzzles you want to solve, or even are just feeling creative. What's your main outlet?
When I'm feeling creative, it's different. I get creative for different things. Like sometimes, mainly it's always writing. Like that's my, I love writing. So like if I do anything, that's number one, it'll be writing. Or like designing something. I love photography or like graphic design. So like I'm always on my phone doing some kind of design if I have some free time. or sometimes I get an urge to paint with like actual paint. So I don't know. It depends. Honestly, it depends on the mood or the time or what my spirit's calling for. But yeah. Like I usually like to listen to my spirit because like, you know, my spirit knows the way. So whenever he's calling to do something specific, I try to make sure I do it. And, you know, even like something as simple as like, going to the movies. Like, that sparked my creativity as well, because, like, I love film, so, like, it gets me, it gets me inspired, you know? So, like, it's different things, yeah.
When did you start writing?
Well, I have one of those, like, I guess cliche stories. But I started writing and reading when I was, like, 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just, and it's always been a drive for you?
Yeah, I always loved it. It's funny because I actually remember when I was 5, I actually have memories and I used to, like, sit on my mom's bed and read to her. My favorite books at the time were Dr. Seuss. And so, like, I always had, like, a stack of, like, 20 books I would just read. Yeah, so I always loved it. I always loved creative art, creative writing. That's always just been something my spirit's been, like, you know, literally attached to. Well, not attached, I won't say attached, but connected to.
What do you think it is about books and about stories that really feeds us?
I think the thing about books is that there's a lot of wisdom within books, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I just feel like there's something about books that just is different from, like, you know, film or videos or, you know, any kind of different kind of entertainment. But books just have this sense of, they just have this sense of wisdom. It's like, you know, when you're reading a book, you just feel wise somehow, or you just feel like you're growing your wisdom, or, you know, you're improving your wisdom, I should say.
It's flexing all those muscles with your vocabulary and your ability to your ability to take information and create a scene in your head.
Mm-hmm.
So it lights the pilot light on your cognition. It just gets those wheels turning.
Yeah, I agree.
So what's
there's something that's beautiful about those.
So what's next on the horizon for you as you kind of get things, put into perspective for this next section of your life?
Mm-hmm. The next section, I'm still focusing on writing. So I'm just focusing on doing more books, more course creation. So I really want to, I have some courses. I've always been doing workshops and whatnot, but especially with, like, what's been going on lately, I figured, you know, maybe I should really step more into the online space of online workshops and online courses. So I'm moving more in that direction now, creating more digital courses in the field of mindset and, like, everything that we're talking about, emotional well-being, spirituality. I'm just focused on creating, you know, nonstop. That's just my mission. Mm-hmm.
Especially these days, anything that you can do to get out there, to get in people's homes. I can speak for myself. The more stuff that's out there, the better, because I've been going stir crazy. But I've also been spending a lot of time in my studio space, out in the backyard, just plunking away on instruments and making music, just trying to find something that I can do with this massive stretch of isolation and alone time. Because I'm a person who doesn't typically handle that well, and I'm actually sort of learning how to exist with myself in silence a little better than I ever have, which is pretty necessary. But how about you? I mean, is that something that that you operate pretty well with as far as downtime or silence?
Yeah, I do. I've been practicing spiritual solitude for maybe a year, maybe 2 years.
Explain that to me. Spiritual solitude. That sounds like something.
Yeah, so briefly, it's pretty much what everyone's doing right now, just being in quarantine. But, it's more of just having a plan or a goal, a quote-unquote, or objective of what you want after this, after your quarantine, after you're going through this solitude experience. So, but it's related spiritually, right? So, example could be, like, I, you know, for this next 30 days, me being away from people or from social media, or just isolating myself and like what we're doing right now and just being within ourselves and being within our own minds, bodies and spirits. By the end of this, I just want to be more faithful, you know, or I want to just be more in tune with my spirit, or I want to be more in tune with the universe. So everyone's going to have like a different purpose of why, you know, or what they want at the end of their solitude. But it is this experience, this healing experience, really. But it, again, depends on the individual and like what you want out of it. But overall, it is just the spiritual healing experience. But you focus on really staying isolated and really just focusing on yourself and focusing on healing and letting go and, you know, getting to that objective or, you know, that goal.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that I struggle with sometimes as far as that's concerned, because my overactive mind wants to fill that silence with the negative things that I'm not getting right. You know what I mean? There's that little voice that's you get in your head sometimes that's there to explain to you all of the things that you're getting wrong in life. And it likes to show up when there's silence.
Yeah, exactly.
But when that comes in, what do you do?
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So that's why self-talk is important, you know, positive self-talk, of course. So, like, the thing is, our minds, for some reason, that's just how we're created. It's always running. It's always, like, it's always thinking of something. And so, like, when that space happens and you feel like that negativity is trying to flow in, you got to fill it up, you know. It's up to you to take control, to take action, to fill it up. You have to fill it up with what you want, you know. So fill up with positive words, fill up with positive affirmations, you know, positive mantras, positive music, positive everything, you know, just constantly fill up until you can kind of just drain out that negative noise, you know. And that's why, you know, repetition is key, especially when it comes to reprogramming the mindset. You have to continually repeat, you know, and continually repeat the positive. But that, like, when it comes to, like, you know, the negativity sneaking in, that's pretty much what you have to do. You just got to kind of just catch it and just flip it. Like, you know, that's why I teach people, like, just catch it and flip it. So you want to catch it. Well, there's a step before that, actually. You catch the thought first, and then you first acknowledge it, right? So it goes back to what we were talking about earlier when it comes to acknowledgement. So you catch the thought first, and you acknowledge what the thought is, right? And you can do this for the positive thoughts as well, but it's mainly for the negative ones. So you catch the thought, you acknowledge it. Okay, you know, it could be like something, whatever, I'm ugly. Okay, I catch it. I'm ugly. Well, I'm going to tell myself, my mind, body, spirit, that I don't agree with it. And so it's just this, like, shifting game. And so every time you get this negative thought, you just tell your mind, body, spirit if you agree with it or if you don't agree with it. And so that's why I say it works for positive thoughts as well, because you can tell yourself, oh, yeah, I do agree with this thought, positive thought, and just keep repeating it. You know, just keep focusing on the positive.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's where you can shift your mind.
It really can. The language that we use, especially when we're dealing with ourselves, is so all important, because it the words that you use to describe your reality define your reality. And if you're using negative language constantly, then you're going to believe negative things more often, because that's the story you're telling yourself over and over again.
Exactly.
What's something that's bringing you joy right now in the midst of all this?
I would say, it's interesting. It's looking forward to the ending of what's going to happen after all this is done. Like, once we're done being quarantined and whatnot, and all this is over.
Yeah.
It sounds interesting, but, like, I'm looking forward to that, because, like, I have a lot of positive hope and faith, and, like, a good outcome is coming. So that's just my outlook on that. But overall, what's bringing me joy right now is just what I'm working on, because, like, what I'm ready to, like, produce and give to the world. This time has, like, definitely inspired me, period. And, like, it just totally boosted my creativity, like, you know. So I've definitely been creating way more lately. So I'm very excited about, you know, sharing that with everybody. So, yeah, it's definitely bringing me joy. And then also, for sure, just knowing that everyone I love, like, all my loved ones are alive and well. So, like, I express gratitude to that every single day. So that brings me joy, because, you know, that's, you know, it's beautiful to have people that you love still alive and well.
And gratitude is absolutely all important right now. completely. Having something, that that matters to you so much, like a project that you're working on, that really helps as far as keeping your mood elevated and not falling into a dark place mentally. Giving yourself somewhere to put things in a positive nature, some kind of some kind of outlet that nets you something positive versus something negative. That's that's got to be something helpful for you now, no?
Yeah, for sure. And also, it like it helps you to stay focused on something else other than the conversation of what's going on. You know, I feel like this play that conversation is just, you know, nonstop ever since it happened. And so it's draining a lot of people's energy, you know. And I feel like, you know, finding something else to focus on, which is why I keep telling people just find something else, even if it's just focusing on you and your health and like isolating yourself again, because again, that's like what I mentioned earlier, isolating yourself from the media and social media is definitely a part of that healing journey. You have to isolate yourself from the noise, you know, and the chaos. So like I recommend that everyone does that.
A thing that I like to keep in mind is that Facebook is not real life. It is a version of people's life filtered through this crazy filter, but it's not real life. And so, keeping that in mind, you know, it's pretty easy for us to yell at each other on the internet. But I don't think that's going to help us at this point. I think it's best to start looking for ways to keep yourself engaged with the things that do make you feel grateful.
Exactly. You know, that just goes throughout life, period. You know, like even besides this experience, people need to understand that, like, you know, it's important that we focus on what makes us feel good. It's important that we focus on positivity. Like, you know, just like what I was saying earlier, like imagine like a child and a teenager being so angry about life when really she could have just been living, you know, a more positive life if she had known, you know, different things. It's just, life would have been different is my point, you know. When life is always different depending on how you feel, and everyone knows that. Like, if you live a negative life, then you know what's going to come with that. And if you want to live a positive life, then you know what's going to come with that as well.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Thanks for talking to me today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
What did I tell you? Isn't that a great conversation? I'm so grateful that I get to have these wonderful conversations with these wonderful people, and I get to share them with you. How exciting is that? It's exciting for me. But if you want to get some more Brooke in your life, and I know that you do, just go to brookwright.com and you get a free meditation booklet to help you release stress and frustration. If you're looking for something a little more in-depth, no problem. She's got you covered there as well. There's a link in the feed below to her many, many courses. You can find her on the Instagram at Brooke Wright. As for me, I will be around next week with renewed enthusiasm and vigor, and hopefully tales of things that I got done. But if not, it's all right. And until next time, don't kill yourselves out there. Literally or figuratively.